Hello, and welcome to the Bird of the Week Mini Christmas Stocking Stuffer. It's a podcast about Christmas birds, released sometimes on a yearly basis, you know, if I get round to it or whatever. Episode 51, The Christmas Robin. Well, let me be the first, and once again, only person to wish you a very avian Christmas. After a hiatus in 2022, we are back for our second Christmas special. You know, one of the big problems with Bird of the Week is that I am not organized. I write and record episodes whenever I find a spare moment in the day. As a result, I'm not really responsive to whatever is going on in the world. Big breaking bird news, I never touch it, because by the time I get round to it, it's already old news. I don't do hot takes, I do stone cold takes. The Bird of the Century competition this year and how John Oliver dramatically swayed the vote, big stuff. But it doesn't get a mention from me. Not counting this mention. But I thought, hey, this year I'm going to be organised and put together a little festive episode for Christmas Eve. This year I am on it. And what better bird to feature than the bright little fellow who has an association with Christmas stretching all the way back to pagan days, the European Robin. If you live in the United Kingdom, I guarantee this bird is all over the place when Christmas rolls around. For the rest of you, I don't know, pretend you're in England or something. Or if you're like me and you live in Australia, maybe now you'll start noticing how frequent that robin actually does pop up. But anyway, let's do a little rapid-fire episode, meet our robin, and learn why they get plastered about during the Yuletide. So let's hit it and gift wrap it.
Bird of the Week.
Okay, I suppose we better meet our bird, the European robin. And straight off the bat, we already need to deal with the fact that there are a lot of birds called robins that are not related to each other. Classic bird nomenclature nonsense. There are three different types of robins. The American robin, which is a kind of thrush. The Australasian robins, which are their own unique family of about 50 or so birds. And the European robin, which is a kind of flycatcher. Now, the European robin is our original robin. The robins in Australia and America are so named because, despite not being related at all, they all have a distinctive bright red breast. Well, actually, the Australasian robins can come in a variety of different colours, including yellow, white, and pink, but we don't need to get into that today. It's another little gift of colonialism. The Brits went sailing around the world, planting flags and stealing lands, and whenever they saw a bird that kinda looked like the familiar robin from back home, they used their wildly creative imaginations and called them the same thing. Which is how we ended up with three different types of robins. So, sorry America and Australia, this episode is not about your robin, this is about the European robin. The robin is pretty instantly recognisable. They're a small fellow, between 10 and 15 centimetres in size, about 5 inches. They're primarily grey, except for the striking orange head and breast, which both males and females share. That's right, orange. Usually the word red is associated with robins. In fact, I've even used it myself already in this episode. They all have a distinctive bright red breast. Heck, their nickname is even Robin Redbreast. The reason for this is because they were named before the word orange entered the English language. Prior to about 1500, the colour we now call orange was lumped in with the rest of the red hues and wasn't differentiated between. And so our Robin Redbreast predates that lexical leap. Although, as an aside, there are a few Australasian robins that do sport a truly bright red breast. Just saying. The robin has long been a favourite of people, because they tend to live in close proximity to our gardens. They're even sometimes known as the gardener's friend, because they hunt and eat common garden insects and pests. At times, they'll even follow behind people as they dig and turn over soil, disturbing the bugs and worms of the undergrowth, providing a good opportunity for the robin to swoop in and snag a treat. As a result, the robins that live in Britain tend to be more tame and well-disposed towards people than those that live on the European continent. They may have a sweet disposition towards people, but robins also have a reputation for being jerks to each other. In particular, the robin is highly territorial, and isn't afraid to get into a bit of the biff if another robin strays into their territory during the mating season. Towards the end of winter, and through the beginning of spring, male robins establish a territory, and traditionally, they declare their claim and defend their rights through the power of song. Females, too, establish nesting territories and are also known to defend them with song. Let's have a little listen. It's a cheerful little tune, isn't it? This earned them some love. They're also a favourite of the British because the robin is a year-round resident. When the winter comes, they remain and tough it out, rather than migrating away. In fact, the robin population has a tendency to increase over winter as the native robins in Scandinavia migrate to Britain, because while they can endure some chilliness, the Scandinavian winters are too harsh, even for them. So having a cheery, brightly plumed bird hopping about in the midst of an otherwise drab season has earned them even more love. And now we're starting to get to the nub of why the robin has been a Christmas favourite. Their association with the winter season goes way, way back. And look, this is also a subjective opinion, but when it's chilly and the robin fluffs itself up, making them look like a plump little ball of feathers, it is super adorable. Bird Borb Cuteness Overload. So, we've got this bright, cute little bird bouncing about during the bleak winter season, and what's this? Here comes an important religious festival set at the same time. It was probably inevitable that they would be one day co-opted into the festivities. So, that's how they got their start, but there is more to it than that. Now, there are a couple of folklore stories out there that also link the robin to Jesus, and how they got their red or orange breast. There are two stories in particular. The first relates to the nativity story. The story supposedly goes that on that first Christmas night, in the manger, the fire keeping baby Jesus warm began to go out, when suddenly, out of the night, came a little brown bird that beat its wings and blew the fire back up into a merry blaze. But in the process, its breast got singed. You know, I would have thought that getting burnt would make your feathers go black, not red, but I'm not here to nitpick the story, he said as he nitpicked the story. Either way, according to the tale, that was how the robin got its red breast at Christmas, and why it is associated with Christmas. The other robin origin story goes to the crucifixion. Supposedly, a little bird plucked one of the thorns from Jesus' brow, and it got a drop of divine blood on its breast. But that really feels like more of an Easter story to me, so, you know, just pretend I never mentioned it. But then, there are non-religious reasons that also give the robin the edge at Christmas. Going back to before the Victorian era, the royal postal workers were issued bright red uniforms. This garb sometimes earned them the nickname of Robin or Redbreast. Okay, so the posties are now called Robin, fair enough. And what happens during Christmas? That's right. There's a big influx of mail delivery, Christmas cards zipping about the country being delivered by letter carriers, who are sometimes associated with the bird. In fact, the tradition of sending Christmas cards has its beginnings in Victorian Britain. It was one Henry Cole who in 1843 sent the first card. Cole worked for the post office as a civil servant and is also sometimes credited with introducing the world's first postage stamp. Now, creating demand in the mail service at Christmas, clearly a stroke of marketing genius. By the middle of the 19th century, as Christmas became increasingly commercialised, the sending of cards had become established as a cherished tradition. Before long, card designs began to feature familiar festive scenes that included holly, churches, snowy landscapes, seasonal rituals, gift-giving Christmas trees, also introduced by Prince Albert around the same time, and of course, the robin. Sometimes depicted delivering mail. It wasn't long before the robin began to feature in other images that depicted Christmas scenes. From there, their association with Christmas only spread through to today, where the robin continues to feature in many a Christmas scene. Of course, being such a common and well-liked bird for centuries, the robin features in many other tales of folklore and myth, but on this Christmas Eve, this is all the robin stories we have. With that, it brings another year of never weekly podcasts to an end. I hope you have enjoyed the bird facts and stories. I know I've enjoyed putting them together. And hey, if the festive season has you feeling charitable towards our little avian show, then why not jump onto the Patreon or coffee page and swing a little Christmas cheer my way? There are links in the description. Or if you want to rate or review the show, that would be great too. Apparently it helps other people find the show. No idea, that's what I hear other podcasters say. Personally, I always thought it was a bit crass asking people that, but you know what, it's Christmas, I've been good, why shouldn't I ask for some gifts to get slung my way? So if you'd like to rate the show, I'd really appreciate it. Now, I've got a lot of plans for future episodes that I can't wait to bring you next year. But I will close now by wishing you once again a very avian Christmas, if you celebrate it. And if you don't, let me offer my good tidings for the end of the year, and all the best for the next one. May your birds be forever plentiful. I will be back with more birds in 2024, and I hope you'll tune in again. Until then, this has been Bird of the Week. So one weird tradition on Victorian Christmas cards was to depict a dead robin or wren lying on its back with toes curled up, and underneath this image would be a message about having a joyful Christmas. Which, like, reading that today, I feel like it would kind of come across as a threat. You know, possibly this is linked to something called Wren's Day, celebrated on the 26th of December when people would hunt wrens for reasons that I'm not totally clear on. Apparently, at the time, people accepted these macabre greeting cards with little dead birds on them as a genuine wish of goodwill. So that's a thing.